Hello, this is Christina Roberts Enneking, and I am here to welcome you to the Real Eyes Realize podcast. This is a podcast that highlights everyday people making ripple effects, actualizing love in their families, communities, and our world at large. This podcast was created to amplify the voices of those who are creating change in our world with this inner knowing, this truth telling that is deeply inspiring to listeners, so that together we can spread the good work of positive ripple effects throughout the world. Realize Realize is a show where life and service can dance together. So we look forward to inviting you to take a listen, sit back, or take us with you on your walk or drive or however you enjoy your podcasts. But I invite you to listen deeply. We're here with our guests to hear about the sparks that have inspired action and heart-centered service and truly highlight ways in which we can also be motivated and inspired to create positive ripple effects in our world. And we are prepared to get real. We're excited for you to hear these stories of vulnerability, courage, and empathy. And we want to know more about how we can see beauty through the eyes of these beautiful beholders. So look forward to hearing what your thoughts are. And again, welcome. Welcome to this wonderful next episode with our very special guest. So for all of our guests, I am so excited to introduce you to this incredible individual today, to our Real Eyes Realize podcast. I'm going to give you a little bit of background and then I'm going to hand it right over to Chip. But I just wanted to introduce our audience to this really phenomenal human being. Rorau is a seasoned entrepreneur. He's a software engineer from Romania. And this is where he discovered his natural aptitude for software engineering during his high school years. In 2004, he moved to Canada, drawn by opportunities for innovation and entrepreneurship. And as a father of two and an entrepreneur at heart, Chipran has founded two companies in Canada. His latest venture, Whisk.ai, is a software solution designed for the restaurant industry. And as the co-founder and CTO of Whisk, he has successfully led the company to become venture-backed and profitable with a team of 20 employees. 4 years ago, coinciding with the COVID pandemic, Chipran became deeply engaged in yoga and meditation, attending retreats and focusing on reconnecting with his body and inner self. Influenced by thinkers like Eckhart Tolle, Alan Watts, Michael Singer, and Tara Brach, Chipran has embraced practices centered around awareness and mindfulness. He views the mind as a separate tool rather than the entirety of his being, striving to shift from mental to heart-centered living. This journey has enhanced his ability to focus, be present, and fully experience life as it unfolds. So that is just a glimpse of this dear friend of mine, Chip. And there's so much for us to go into today, but I really wanted to kind of hand the baton to you, first of all, to give us a little bit of a reader's digest of your journey from growing up in Romania, or, you know, migration, if you will, to Canada, getting into AI. How do you give us the highlights, Chip?
Thank you, Christina. It's really a pleasure. Always been a pleasure talking with you and feeling your energy, your enthusiasm, and your smile. It just, it's always puts me in a good place. So let's dive into so people kind of know a bit of my background. So I grew up in Romania. I find it like to be so enriching living, coming from a society which kind of like went from communism. I was nine when the communists fell. So I didn't really felt what it like to live in communist, right? Live in fear or live in deep lacks in terms of like physical, like, I mean, basic needs, right? I just had a normal family. I had everything that I needed, like in terms of food, shelter, security. So it was like all positive, like in a sense. So it's like I had my mother worked in textiles, so hardworking. My father in ceramics, so really hardworking. My father was also an entrepreneur. He passed away 8 years ago. He was an entrepreneur in agriculture. So he had this part of him that I kind of carried on now. I am carrying on with computer science, being an entrepreneur, because he was selling vegetables in the markets garden. Was very happy that he was able to make a a mini vacation house, buy a car for himself. So it was like he was so proud of it, getting out of. So I know that my family, my parents, they gave me something that is intangible. I didn't see it at that moment in time, but now I see.
Yes, that's beautiful. And yeah. You said that the vegetables and whatnot. Did you have a grandfather that was also a farmer? Does that kind of go back in time?
Yes, it goes on my mother's side. My grandparent, my mother had like there were 30 brothers and sisters, right?
Wow.
They huge family there, like I mean huge. And then we're going there, and then we're like laboring the like I mean all my weekends was like just going out and just doing labor, like I mean vegetables and corns and you name it, right? It was like kind of like when I was a teenager and I said, finally I can do something else, right? Because it was like, right. But it was like it defines me in a sense, and it's positive because it was very grounding. I was out in nature almost every weekend, right? So now that I'm looking back at that moment in time, I didn't know how to get out of that, right?
Right.
When I found the computer science was the other side of things, where everything is digital. There was nothing tangible. But it's beautiful as well. Like you get lost into bits and digits, right?
Yes.
It was the other side. So that's why, in a sense, we all are our past experiences, right? So my family and my parents really define me. That they're really hardworking, and I really, really deeply appreciate the legacy that they pass on, and then I'm passing on to my kids.
Yeah.
The other one that defines me is that when I discovered computer science, that was in I was the beginning of high school. It's really I was mesmerized by how quickly it moves. It's like kind of like you press a bunch of like letters. And then you know that just you have a computer running, like a software running, I said instantly there was something inside of me that says this is cool.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it's another language, right? You were learning another language.
Yes, and it's kind of it was effortless, contrary to any other school, like anything like mathematics, physics. The other ones were work was work. This was not work. It was just. I was learning it ahead of time, just pure of like, I mean, because I was mesmerized to see how it's fluid and it's easy to manipulate and you have instant gratification. And we've seen it, right? I mean, the last 25 years, and we'll be talking about this one, how much it evolved. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's basically improves our lives in many, many, many ways.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that once we started, after I finished university, computer science in my hometown, I decided to come to Canada, where I live right now. I think I was my father's side in terms of being an entrepreneur. Coming to North America, I found it like first there is more opportunity when it comes to computer science.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, there is more, even though the world equalizes now a bit more. The economy was more stable, and it was kind of like I knew it's an easier path. And it's, I mean, I have cousins and friends that have businesses in Romania, so it's perfectly like fine. I just wanted to feel the freedom of
course, living. And it was your path for some reason. It was meant for you to be. Yeah. This entrepreneur in Canada, and like you said, bring so much of your past with you as well.
Exactly. So that was fun. That was fun.
That's
it was
great.
Like it took a bit of adjustments because it's because it's a different society here.
Yes.
Like I mean, versus Romania, you leave your friends, your family behind.
Sure.
But it's I guess it's just a path.
You created, I know, a beautiful community there with your wife and your children and the family, right? We create our family sometimes, especially when we go away on such a big journey. Mm-hmm. Curious also how you got into AI, because that is going to be a lot of our conversation today, is the intersection between AI and we'll just call it the humanistic experience, you know, our spirituality and philosophy. So tell us a little bit about Wisk.ai and just what you are doing in the AI space right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see. Software as we know it It's about what it does. Human invented this one to do what the computer can do faster than us. Initially it was calculators, right? Very simple. Mm-hmm. Then it became like operating systems. Then you have like full blown like soft, like I mean for almost anything. Then you have big data, then you have cloud computing, you have significantly more power. Whisk, as a business, it works in the restaurant space. Mm-hmm. So it's a software that helps restaurants manage their internal operations. We call it back of house. So anything that's inventory, ordering, replenishment, digitizing, invoicing, accounting integrations, all the stuff that when we go to restaurants, we want to have a great experience. Mm-hmm. But in order to have what you are drinking or eating, somebody had to manage all the ingredients, the recipes, the costing, just to make sure that the restaurant is thriving. So that's what Whisk does. It's a lot of numbers, a lot of processes, a lot of complexity because the restaurant industry is very different. And like, I mean, the restaurants, they don't work in the same. You have small, medium, large, you have groups, you have beverage focus, food focus, quick service. So it's a very, very interesting environment that makes my mind and that of the team very active in a sense.
Yes.
So AI, so there is a lot of software inside Whisk that is just typical software, right? I mean, databases, screens, interactions, mobile, because we have a mobile app, which is native, which makes it that works offline. So people go in and stock rooms and sellers, right? They don't have internet connections. Lots of typical stuff. Yes. AI, it's used to digitize invoices. So we have a big portion of our value prop as a company. We digitize invoices, and we extract the invoice lines.
Got it.
It's a huge value prop because Whisk works with over 10,000 suppliers outside, and they all come with different type of invoices. Right. So that's one of the places where we use it. Let's say for customer focused. The other one, of course, internally, since companies like ChatGPT, OpenAI existed, everything inside the business, it's basically it's enhanced by AI, including our customer support. When our customers ask a question, the AI will respond first based on our knowledge base.
Yeah,
and we have a 30% success rate. So 30% of all the requests right now are handled directly by AI.
Yeah,
that's kind
it's incredible,
like...
you know, and I think it's the world that we're living in now. You know, if you go to Expedia or you go to any, you know, of these websites, the first interaction is usually a chatbot that is run by AI.
Yes.
And there's so much information and knowledge that can be, that is repetitive, that can give you quick answers right away.
Yes.
I think that what I love about you, Chip, is, you know, when we have conversations, we love to go deep into philosophy and spirituality and like is going on in the world. And how do we look at, you know, enhancing, if you will, this human experience, or I'll just say it, even the spiritual experience, right? So tell us a little bit about your journey on that road. Cause I know you've talked about having a lot of thought leaders that you love to follow, Alan Watts, Tara Brach, also even individuals like Eckhart Tolle. So like, how did you get introduced to that, and how did it start to have your heart maybe vibrate at a different level?
Mm-hmm. 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 That was a very, very, very interesting part. Let's put it like this. It was like Whisk, who's been with the company, like starting the business for over 7-8 years. But deep inside of me, I always thought about like after needing to have a purpose. Okay, why do we? What's the purpose of the software, right? So in this case, in the case of Whisk, was okay, we wanna optimize the experience, the lives of whoever is using the software, so they can do something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then okay, so then that kept me busy a long while, right? We say, okay, we're optimizing. Okay, cool. So but then we optimize. Now what's else, right? What is beyond just using the mind as a tool to solve problems? Why do we do all of this, right? So that's when I actually say, wait a second, there has to be something more than just using the mind to write software. Right? There has to be something else.
Yeah.
So what if you don't let the mind Because that's the whole premise, like that in the Western society, we think a lot, right? And we want to shape whatever is around us. We want to shape it, transform it to our liking, like we, including environment, including like everything around us. We want to, the human mind wants to shape and control, right? So now the Eastern philosophies, it's the opposite. Say you just let go. You watch the flow of life. You're not surrendering. You're not just making, let's say, I don't watch. No, you watch it.
Yeah.
And then you go and you do from this place. Right? So that's kind of like, it's a, and when I discovered this, that letting go, it's not the same with giving up.
Yeah, not at all. Say more though about that, because that's, I think, a really important point. Why do you think that's not the same? You know, surrender and letting go, not equivalent to giving up.
Yeah. I will say our common friend, GV, was mentioning a quote that remained with me. And he was asking me, Chip, the energy that you're showing in the world, is this yours? Or passes through you? Right. So I realized that it passes through us, through me, right? Is that what I'm showing right now, what I'm saying right now, it's not really me. It's all the things that I learned before.
Yeah.
All the experience. So, and people that, I mean, I'm talking myself about myself. If I was to burn out, is that I'm what does it mean? It's really burn out like a candle. You consume all the energy that you have. There's nothing else. You burn out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But somebody that just receives and passes on can never burn out, right? It's just, you just have to be open to whatever it's in front of you, calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on this, you define the best course of action to achieve the goals that you set up. The mind can set the goal, but you can achieve it by being patient. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of almost like dancing through life, right? While still achieving. So that is the path there, but it's so difficult for the mind to let go.
Yeah.
And I will make a parallel with, I have two kids, 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
You can control them, right? You can, the mind can say, I'm going to control every step of the way of everything that they're doing. But by controlling, you're only crippling them. You're crippling their future because they don't develop that resilience.
Mm-hmm.
What if instead you don't control, but just watch, you trust that they will succeed, and you are there to catch them if something happens.
Mm.
Right? So in a sense, you let the flow of life pass on, but you're still there, present.
Yes.
But only when it's necessary, right? So you're not consuming all your energy, controlling every aspect of life.
Yeah.
So that is all of it. So in a sense, a kind of removing yourself from the equation. That is the removing yourself and being the observer more than the doer, the listener more than the doer.
That's great.
That's kind of like my path here. How
tough
does it resonate with someone, Christina?
I think it resonates a lot. And I think the analogy as well. I mean, my two children just turned 17 and 19 this week. And so seeing that too, and one now in college and one looking at what's next. And I think that is just wise thought process in terms of we're not there to live their life for them. I see that happen so many times where our life is lived vicariously through our kids. How is it that we can set them up for their journey? And I love the thought about being there when they fall. Of course, we're not like hands off and just be like, all right, you go do you.
Yeah.
There is a presence that really is there, and it's a deep love and it's an unconditional love that, and then part of that is also making mistakes and learning from that. What a great teacher that is.
Yeah.
So that observer and that listening feels very, very powerful. And I think that that's important. So how do you take that to where we are in the world now, right? We are, our kids, on that note, growing up with social technology, growing up with AI, not really necessarily knowing anything different. How do we navigate this world where it is so digitally inclined? Any thoughts on that?
talking with my wife about right now how much kids they spend, like, I don't know, 8 hours a day. Like, I mean, I don't know what's the some statistics, but many hours a day on digital, like on social media, right? I mean, and it's so addictive, right? That thing is made, everything that they do, they are AI, like, I mean, scientists make the that's what they do. They want
the algorithms. Yeah, there are around addiction.
They want to attract attention.
Yeah.
And it's a trap that kids, they cannot escape. It's very difficult to develop that resilience to not fall into that, right? So that is a problem in my mind. How do you separate it? How do you realize, make the kids realize, okay, now you're just wasting time. You're just consuming. And basically you become a product of whatever you're using. And without realizing, you think that you have control because you can swipe and you'll watch the other one, but anything, it's exactly the same. So that is a danger, right? But on the flip side, there's never, ever in the history of humanity where you can access any information that you can think of. I mean, when I was a teenager, we had to go to the library, right? And ask for a book if they have it.
Right.
And you have to return it in a week, right? I mean, it's unheard of that you can find anything.
Yeah.
Right? So now with the AI, not only that you can find, you have answers. And this is what happens right now. You have answers to almost any questions. You can talk. Even an hour ago, I was just, you can talk. And then it looks, sounds human.
Yes.
So it's mesmerizing. So there are two sides of things, like in anything. You can use for good, and you can use it for, not harmful. Like, you can use it for, like, just passing time, but it can also be harmful.
Yeah.
That's the flip side, I think. I guess with anything, right? I mean, any human brain.
I think that's what I find is, as we talk about spirituality, there's the duality, what I see, or the paradox. And so that's what I'm hearing you saying is, things can be used for good purpose. They also can be used for purposes that maybe there's some quote unquote bad acting that goes on, and these platforms can be used for that as well. But where is it that we're looking at that part that we are, how are we having a human experience, and how do we up level everybody? And I love that you said, the example of going to a library. I remember that too. You had to have a library card, but you also had to have a library in your town. Think about some of these very small, underdeveloped countries where they don't have access. So now with the ability to have a phone, you have access to having, even also starting small businesses. I think some of the opportunities that are available now through the advent of some of the digital tools is outstanding in terms of leveling the world. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah. I was just looking at the Kiva.org. It's the organization where you can fund entrepreneurs from all around the world, usually in poorer countries. And they try to develop a Kiva. They call it the Kiva protocol, where people can you can have a digital identity.
Okay.
And their statistics were, there is 1 billion people in the world that are not, they cannot legally prove their existence.
Wow.
So it's really 1 billion.
Wow. And
because they are not, they cannot prove their existence. They don't have any identity cards. They cannot get into the system. They cannot get money. They cannot get funds. They cannot, they just.
Wow.
They're just completely detached from the rest of the world, right? For the financials. So, I mean, I guess in our society, right, we focus on the richer. We want to become wealthier because we are, I guess we have all the basic needs. I was mentioning at the beginning, I'm coming from Romania. I know what basic needs means.
Sure.
I know that I'm way beyond the basic needs and I just don't need anything else. I mean, why would I need anything else, right? But they're really below any basic needs. So if there's anything that the AI can do, maybe, is that lift their knowledge up. Right. I don't know if you saw Christina yesterday, OpenAI launched a new model for 4.0, where one of the demos was an AI, the OpenAI did, where you screen share your iPad and it was teaching a kid mathematics.
Wow.
It was on the iPad, and then you were drawing what is the hypotenuse, how you calculate the sin. And it was really like talking like a real tutor. I mean, it was perfect. Now, With this technology, any kid in any language will be able to learn at their own speed.
Mm-hmm.
And the tutor will fully know the context of everything that that kid knows already, and always give new information, new knowledge based on the prior knowledge.
Yeah.
And every once in a while reinforce what they learn already. So it's kind of like having the perfect teacher all around, all with you.
It's amazing.
Now with this, I think you can lift many kids out of poverty.
Yeah.
And not only that, those kids, but the communities, because the companies will hire those kids that will become teenagers, adults, right?
Yeah.
And they will stay in their communities. And then I hope that we'll have a sharing of wealth, where we lift the humans to to an acceptable level. Like, I mean, for me, even in communism, I was having an acceptable level. Like, I mean, in the pyramid of Maslow, the security aspect was kind of fragile.
Yes.
But after it was okay. So this is one of my greatest hopes, that we can achieve that.
I love that.
With the technologies.
Because I think that's when you say, you know, and I look at too, like, you know, what if, you know, let's think about the possibilities. What if AI can help us on the challenges like global climate change? What if AI can help us on the challenges of medical health and breakthroughs to the point where we haven't been able to do for centuries? What if we can uplevel poverty and end hunger? I mean, there are some huge, complicated problems in this world that, you know, what if we had these great tools to support us? Now, on the flip side, when you talked about Eastern philosophy and then sometimes Western ways, which sometimes can get into consumerism, needing to have more, even though we have enough, what are your thoughts about mindfully going into this up-leveling experience?
Yeah, that's the question is, Alan Watts was talking about needs and desire. And so do I really desire it, or do I really need it?
Mm-hmm.
It's really like, even like my kids, I tell them before I want to buy something, I just wait. If you wait a few days, a few weeks, depending on how expensive it is, just I really want to see, do I really need it? I just want it. Who's talking here? Right? Mm-hmm. Who's wanting this? And if I prove myself that I really need it, then it doesn't matter like the cost. I mean, depending on how hard it is, just get it because I really need it, right? But the question is, I think the word is ego. Is the ego, is it something that you want to cover up, or do you want to just go and consume because you have is something is lacking inside of you?
Or you're trying to keep up with somebody, keep up with friends. And when I think about teenagers, right, that kind of seems to be a driver as well. Not only teenagers, many people. How do you keep up with the people around you? Status symbols.
That is also that's the pressure. That is also yes, we live in a society where everybody at school has a certain type of brand. You kind of like, it becomes the uniform that we were having during the communists. Everybody has to dress the same. If not, you're not part of the pack.
Uh-huh.
That becomes a societal question.
Yeah.
What kind of, like, that's why maybe the private schools they put like uniforms, so you take out that part. You just let's focus on teaching here. Like, I mean, just let's not focus on making like fashion statement every time somebody comes at the school.
Although, right? I will say, I went to an all girls Catholic high school for 4 years of high school, and or 3 years, excuse me, and we had uniforms, but I think we had like casual Fridays, and on those days, people would get like the most deluxe outfits because it was the one day out of the week. And so it still happened, you know, in terms of that, or anytime that the boys' school would come over we had like a, you know, kind of class about, you know, marriage and theology kind of a deal. And everybody would put their makeup on, but normally people would have ponytail on top of the head, no makeup, and just be there to learn. So it is interesting when you think of the societal connections and like how people want to be seen and heard, and the sense of belonging. And so how do we do that in a way to give people voice, but at the same time, not have to have that ego maybe leading the charge? Do you have any thoughts on that? That's a tricky question, right?
That's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. I think, the Eastern philosophy is that once you realize that you have everything, everything gets easy after. Because you don't, you're not, but if you look for something outside of you, for some possessions, the thing is that that desire to have something new, it will always be there. Once you get this car, you get to want to have like a bigger house. Once you have this one, you're going to have like on more expensive, you go on vacation. Now it's not enough. You have more bigger vacations. More expensive. Like you have 4 stars. Now you want to have 5 stars. Now you want to have like, it's just, it never ends. And really, it never ends. So that's the thing is that it's just a cycle. And it can be driven. Some people really like it and they need it, right? I've been living in poverty and now I just want to see the other part, right?
Sure.
But if you make a habit out of it, it in itself is not a problem. But everybody combined, human thinking this way, it just diminishes the resources of the planet. Mm-hmm. Because it just diminishes. Because it just, you're consuming way more than the earth. If everybody will, like, for example, if everybody will eat fish in the same way that the government says that you should eat fish, we'll deplete all the fish from the ocean immediately.
Yeah.
And fish became this expensive thing, expensive meat. And it becomes a desire, right? More than a need.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one, Christina, because it's here is not only the individual, it's the society.
Yeah.
And it's right. As an individual, we've seen this in the past, in many societies, in the history, an individual has to be stubborn and can be, and some of them are really against the system, but it's a limit of what an individual can do. But they are the one that make a change in the end. Mm-hmm. Those that step up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it takes time to change society.
Yeah, it does.
But right now, where we live right now with the Western society, the crisis that we have now with the planet is because of Western societies. Right? It's not because of the poor countries.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, the consumerism, the need for resources, the need for more, and just continuing to tap into Mother Earth in that way.
Yeah, it is. It's not, but it's not, again, with the AI, these are complex problems, and I hope that we can. I really hope that we can find innovation quick enough. Don't have to reduce, we have to turn on the other side. Okay, we have to pay the debt.
Yeah.
Well, not reducing.
Yeah, and I think that pay the debt, there was something that you said that I wanted to kind of go back to for a moment, is there's individual choice and change, and then there's also systems. And the systems may be, the societal systems or political systems or any of those of which people are part of running them, but there also are these mechanisms. So when you think about the positive changes that we have as a potential in front of us, what are the changes that you would like to see, either at an individual or systematic level? So when we think about our kids growing up in this world and future generations, what are your hopes and dreams?
Yes. Now, there is one on the technical side, is that we live in a Western society where we have central banks, we have a central system, we have a central government, we have a system that actually grows and protects itself. Now we have this decentralization of authority, mm-hmm. where you don't need a bank, where people can have small community that are self-government. So that's the new decentralized way of governing,
mm-hmm.
which are more like, if you want, like the small villages that we had in the past, where it was self-sufficient, where you have a baker, you have meat, you have like everybody knew like how to help themselves, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like organic, chaotic, and everybody knew their place and everybody was like taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
So and right now we have big corporations that protect themselves. The Googles, the Facebook, they will, I live in a software world. What a company like Amazon does.
Right.
They are not there for if there's a company that threatens them, they will either like buy them or they will reduce their prices so that that business goes out of, like they, that the other company goes out of business. Facebook did the same in countless ways. They bought Facebook, Google bought YouTube, they bought DeepMind, which right. becomes their AI. So they are just, they are a system, right? Mm-hmm. It's everything, it's governing internally. So now what I do hope is that this decentralization, now if you decentralize and then you share the wealth of the planet, the underserved parts of the countries, you have many ones in Asia, in Africa,
sure.
they will start lifting up and they will build their own separate economies.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope. That's all I hope. And that's really technical. And I think software can be used for this purpose.
I love that. Well, when you think about some of, you mentioned ChatGPT, also have, you know, the Meta or Facebook version, Llama. Yeah. We yes. also have, you know, Google with, you know, Gemini. So many of these are going open architecture. Like, mm-hmm. what is your take on that? Is that part of looking at decentralization and being able to up-level communities that may not have access to that?
I was looking at Facebook and then when they open source Llama, they didn't do it based on goodwill. They did it because it's good for their business. They did it for because they want to make the competition less powerful. And they say, we're just going to make sure that you guys, we don't win, but you guys don't win. We don't become more powerful. You don't come in our territory. So it just happened like this, right?
Okay.
It just happened. Now, like we say, the question is, what do we do with it? Like, I mean, we can now have, we're going to have somebody, like, I mean, we're going to have very powerful models on the phone working offline.
Yeah.
Almost as good as GPT-4, right? I was joking with my kids. We can have a GPT-4 on our Roomba, that the vacuum cleaner, right? Roomba
yeah.
will know more than any human ever did.
It's right? amazing. I mean, our vacuum cleaner knows more, has bigger intelligence than any human.
But it will happen, Christina. It's not a question.
No, it's here. It's like, I know. I get yeah. it. It's yeah.
It just true. It's like, I mean, how? What will mean? Like, I mean, this is like, I mean, for me, is like, this is one of the things that when I was talking with Mustafa Suleiman, which is the co-founder of DeepMind.
Yes,
was saying that AI, it's really the humanity compressed in a single dot, if you want. Everything that the human mind produced
yep.
since the beginning of the humanity, it's there. It was trained on anything that exists. Like millions of times more data, more text than a human can read the entire life if you reach 24 hours a day for the rest of the life.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just right there. Why not?
Yeah.
So, I mean... That's
should we be excited or scared about that, or a little bit of both? What do you think?
It's so big yeah. that I think that the human mind cannot even comprehend how impactful this is. It's yeah. like one of the CEO, I think it was from Stability AI, he was mentioning that they are making humans scalable.
Mm.
Like this, you really said this one, because now, you know, it's like, and the way they make an AI, Christina, is that they really grow the AI, like grow a human mind. They just actually pump all this information
yeah.
and just you figure it out. And then...
Because it figures out patterns, right? It takes a look at patterns.
Yeah. So it's not like the typical deterministic if, then, else, and force and all the stuff. It's just... Right. Even there is a company called Wave, which is a self-driving AI platform for cars.
Uh-huh.
How they taught it is that they just show the AI driving what you see in front of you and what are the reactions of the humans. What do we do? You don't teach them how to, if you see pedestrians and you see this one, what do you do? We see the line. No, you just show them videos, feeds,
right,
and the reactions, and they just learn how to drive.
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing, right?
So now the possibilities are endless. Because when we get to AGI, artificial generative intelligence,
yeah,
the AI will be smarter than any human. Will be now. The thing is that I hope that we'll use it to rely to it. We'll have our own co-pilot in a sense.
Yeah.
We'll be able to answer questions that we're not able to answer before, like because of the magnitude of the amount of data. Because the human mind, we are limited, right? Like, I mean, just if I ask you how many to-dos can you keep in your mind? Maybe 10, you know what I mean? The right. Rest are just fuzzy. But yeah, I can keep like a million to-dos, right? They can quantify them, qualify them, prioritize them, and just can keep everything that you ever talk to in the entire life, any words, they can keep it right there.
Yeah.
You can ask questions. It's just, for me, it's like, I just cannot believe it. I mean, I thought that we are 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's not, we're not there yet with AGI, but what we have so far, and the speed at which it goes.
That's it. We're getting closer. And I think one of the things I wanted to kind of cap this out on is that it's here now, you know, and it's not going away. Like, you know, there is, and I think there is, you know, this essence of anytime a technological breakthrough like this happens, even the advent of the computers early on or the internet, you know, I think you and I have lived through where those were introduced to society as we were growing up. There is this, I'll call it moral panic that happens as new technologies are coming out around, like, are they looking to replace us, you know, humans,
yes.
our jobs? And I think that somehow this intersection with mindfulness and technology is really going to be important. And I think about thought leaders like you and what you're doing in the world is really an important space to be in. So as we kind of close this out, we might need to do a part two about what's going on with AI and AGI as we're looking at it. But as we kind of look at this, to summarize, what are you what do you want to get involved in, or what do you and your entrepreneurial spirit want to see happen as AI continues to grow up?
The way I see right now is that we thought that software and the world that there is, I mean, we did most of it. But right now, based on what I see with AI, it's just the beginning. Everything that was done so far can be disrupted by AI and will be disrupted by AI. There is no, we think that software eats the world. Now the AI, I think, will eat the world fully, ingest so much data. So now my question is, if I was to put like a North Star to my, like, let's say if I think about chip, like as we are humans, but also as an intellect, how can we, the AI be used for spreading the happiness, the wellness around the world? If there is one thing that, and then now there are so many angles there. It could be education, could be, like you said, financial stability, could be security. Now, and each one of them can be done by AI.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I love
That's kind of like where I'm looking for.
I love that. So when you look at that, and as we're going to close out this podcast, from your grounded state, which is so what I love about you, is how easy we both can get excited and get techie and go into nerd land, both of us coming from a technical background, and also ground and like look at the beauty in nature and the magic that exists with synchronicities and whatnot. So what advice or suggestions do you have, coming from this entrepreneurial spirit, to those that are maybe really scared about AI right now? Do you have any thoughts?
That's a wow. The change is frightening, right? From many angles, because it moves so quickly. It moves. The only question I'm asking myself is: does it move faster than the human ability to adapt? Mm. That's the only question, right? Because when we switch from agriculture being 80% of the population to 1% being right now, it happened over 50 years.
Yeah.
Right. So right now it's a fact that AI is here to stay. It's a fact. It's becoming smarter and smarter by every month.
Yeah.
Right. So there's no point in fighting it. We just have to embrace it. There's no, there's, and the benefits are are tangible. I know my businesses, I know my kids, my daughter. She was telling me, Papa, I have no idea how I was able to function without this. And she's not using it to like do anything at school, like that should not be doing, but she actually learns. She learns.
Yeah.
Using it. And the colleagues at work, they actually use it every day. Yeah. So the benefits, the amplification of knowledge, it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Right? But there will be, I think people, the only thing that need to be aware of is that you have to adapt very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of adapting to the new changing. You see, there's no such thing as I learned at school, I finished my university, and I'm done. Because, I thought that we as humans, what the machine cannot do is creativity.
Yeah.
But check it out. AI, it's the first thing that they actually tackle. It's can sing, can make videos now almost in real time. It can write. At one point, we'll actually be happy if we read a book written by a human. Right? This was actually the same way we say that, this was done handmade. Now, this was done by human brain. We'll get there. So it's just being adaptable and knowing that the society will change and not being stuck in a particular mindset. Just going out in the same way we're begin the conversation and we're ending it right now. It's about not trying to control it, just follow the flow.
Wisdom, Chip. I am so grateful for this conversation. And like I said, I think we might have a part two that we're going to be looking into because I think we just scraped the tip of the iceberg. But what I want to do is to close it out with, first of all, just asking if there's any way that our listeners can support you and what you do in the world. And then I also want to let our listeners know that we'll put together a resource list, you and I, around some great TED Talks and some podcasts so that if people want to get informed more, some of the thought leaders in this space, and we can add some of the mindfulness ones as well. Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
Does that sound good? Okay.
Yes.
So is there anything our listeners can do to support you and your hopes and dreams in the world?
So as a tech person, I always love being grounded into, action. What is that my mind can do that actually can have an impact, right? So now anything that's AI related in the subject that's actually sharing the wealth, I'm all ears. That's just ping me. Just let's have a chat. And then we're figuring out, how do we get from concept into action and implementing it? This is what my company Whisk is about. It was like not a glorious idea, but it was like, how do you optimize a restaurant? But what if we think bigger? Not optimize a restaurant. How do you optimize the society in general? Mm-hmm. It's why not? The tools allows us.
Yeah, I love that. So, and that's what I love, Chip, that you're such a great individual as an entrepreneur and a mentor. And it just sounds like you're open to those connections as well. So let's explore this together and figure out how to adapt together. That's cool. So I have a couple of lightning speed questions for you. We like to end our podcast this way. So these are just kind of fun ways to kind of understand a little bit more about you. So you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
What are you currently reading or watching?
Right now, I discovered an app called Waking Up. And I have an amazing teacher. His name is Adyashanti.
He's from this area. You know that?
I didn't know. I love his. The app is amazing. Sam Harris, I think, is who created the app. But Adyashanti, I just cannot recommend him more. It just puts everything in perspective. It's so calm and it's so nicely explaining how the mind works. And how to calm it down. It's beautiful.
I love that. That's awesome. Okay, so here's one. If you could eat dinner and engage in dialogue with anyone, past or present, who would it be and why?
Alan Watts.
Alan Watts? Why?
I love him. I just cannot believe that he lived in, he was like in the top, he was 1670s. I told you, he knew it all.
Yeah.
He realized, at one point he was mentioning, can you imagine a future where you can order anything with the click of a button? Imagine how boring that will be. You don't know if you're going to get it or not. And it's such a nice way of explaining very complex subjects in a very entertaining, mm-hmm. simple way.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Really love him. His son, we'll have to put that podcast out, both of them out on our resource list, because his son has published his, yes. you know, much of his recordings back from the 60s and 70s. That. Fantastic. So are there any practices that you do or say to yourself when you feel challenges arise within you, just that remind you how you want to show up, for example, like to be in flow?
Yes. It was, there is this, one of my influences, Michael Singer. Yeah. And he was talking about discovering yourself before you go out in the world and just leaving space for the person, whoever it is, just making sure that you don't get lost in the thinking, in the doing without being there. So my grounding is cooking, which I've been doing for the last couple of years, going to my yoga classes, staying with the kids and just putting the phone away, or going on, like, I mean, really for a weekend without the phone. So it really makes this active and pause. I mean, just really to really feel it. When I'm working, I'm really working. When I'm pausing, I'm really pausing. I'm not just pretending I'm going on vacation and I'm just reading, right? So it's really, so you feel that. So that's my ritual now, which makes it that in both sides, I'm kind of like, it's kind of like a different part of me that has access to.
I love that. That's awesome. My last and final question for you today is, what are you most grateful for today?
just for the beautiful conversation, for spring. I think that I've never, like, I mean, here in Canada, when I live in Montreal, winter can be quite long. Just seeing the grass, hearing the birds.
Yeah.
Just the calm that comes with it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. This has been a phenomenal conversation, and I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You will.
Thank you for tuning in to another impactful conversation here on the Real Eyes, Realize podcast. We hope you take some time to let the wisdom of these stories that are shared here today sink in. And we welcome you to engage with us on our social channels, realeyes.love on Instagram or Facebook. We also have links in our show notes to our guests, and we invite you to visit our website, realeyes.love. Here you will find an online resource hub, and this is where we offer gifts from our guests to all of our listeners. These resources can help all of us create our own positive ripple effects, actualizing love in this world. If you have any other individuals you would like us to interview, please do let us know. We love hearing your ideas for compelling stories to share. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And thank you for doing all that you do in the name of love and service in our world. Be true, be bold, be real, and thank you for listening.